from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's a swing and a ground ball into center field. That's a base hit. Edwards will score. Behind him is Gordon. He'll score. Jazz wants a double. He slides in safely.
You know, we just didn't do anything off their bullpen at all, so couldn't get any sort of rally going. And, you know, pretty good at bats first few innings, and then kind of went stale. Left elbow injury. X-rays were negative. He's going to get some further tests right now, so he's getting an MRI on that. So as of right now, he's day-to-day, but we don't know the extent of how hurt he is. McDermott's going to start tomorrow, so we got to figure a lot of things out at this point.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Send in your favorite female artist or band songs to the text line. Quick Draw will handle it from there. Orioles, they lose the first game out in Miami 6-3 last night. Albert Suarez takes the loss. He's now 5-4 on the year. Just goes two innings, gave up 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, and the walk. That's just not going to get it done. I mean, quite simply, anytime your starter is only giving you 2 innings, you're kind of screwed from that point on. And that's even with the bullpen coming out and doing their job. I mean, bullpen keeps the game where it is. They don't allow anything else. Only 2 hits given up by the bullpen. But other than that, the Orioles just really didn't have much positive to talk about last night. At one point, it did look like they were going to come back. You had the O'Hearn 2-run single, and then you had Couser get the infield RBI scoring Santander. That made it 4-3. Orioles never scored again after that. Really, there was no more action offensively for the most part from either of these teams after the third inning. But yeah, it just didn't get done. And you know, Miami's bullpen, albeit Miami's not a good baseball team by any stretch of the measure, but their bullpen is kind of the backbone of their team right now, especially with most of their rotation on the IL, and the Orioles just couldn't get anything done against the bullpen.
No. Yeah, like you said, Cordell, after the third, you know, I mean, because it was exciting early on, There was a lot of runs by both teams. They were hitting the ball, and then Couser gets thrown out at third. They have first and third, and they can't score. You know, so there's a lot of missed opportunity. And with Suarez, you know, I mean, they say, you know, he was going out because of getting hit by the line drive. I think he was about done anyhow. Mm-hmm. And my wife, who's a orthopedic surgeon, she thought that Mateo dislocated his elbow. When she saw it, she saw it dislocated the elbow. And I guess we'll find out today with the MRI. But I don't know. You know, the X-rays were negative. I don't know. You know, he doesn't. Sounds like Hyder didn't believe that that was the case. You know, and what they brought up. Who did? Well, Cordell, let me ask you this. And Norm, let me ask you this. They're pitching McDermott tonight. I was talking to one of my buddies this morning. He says they're showcasing him.
Well, they needed a spot start. They moved Corbin Burns back a day.
And Rodriguez.
Yeah. So somebody had to start.
You got Povich still in AAA. Looks like they're going to try to give him more of that rest. And that's what they talked about. I think a week ago they put that out, that they were going to try to give Povich an extended rest. So you get Chase McDermott. And look, maybe they are showcasing him right now. They also just need somebody that can go out there and give them a quality start.
Irvin wasn't even mentioned.
I mean, I think they're comfortable with where he is right now.
I've seen enough as a starter. Yeah, that is. I haven't really seen much of him as a reliever.
He stays as a reliever.
So I think he's had plenty of opportunities last year and this year. Give the new kid a chance. And as far as showcasing him, I mean, maybe. But right now the Orioles in a situation where, you know, they'll take any pitching they can get.
Yeah.
So if, you know, getting an elite starting pitcher costs a McDermott as a prospect, maybe I'll do it, but I'm not in any sort of rush to give up any of the in-house pitching talent you have. And after McDermott, that's kind of it, at least for the immediate future.
You don't have much to even give up. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and look, Chase is this has kind of been building for a while now. I think a lot of people were expecting to see him up here at some point in the second half of the season. So, you know, it just seems like this is what's causing it to happen right now. And I guess to wonder why Povich isn't here right now, maybe they want to give Povich some more time in AAA. His last couple of outings haven't been great for him either. So maybe it's kind of a reset time for him.
Yeah, it could be. And then I was reading today, you guys, Jeff Passan was saying that Skubal, too expensive, and Detroit won't want to get rid of him. That's right. Why they don't think he's going. They don't think he's going anywhere, and the Orioles are going to end up with Crochet.
And we talked about it a bit yesterday. Just you see all the different hypothetical trades, and no two are alike, and they all vary in range of what it would cost for the Orioles. I mean, some are very unrealistic in what it would cost the Orioles, and saying that it would be too light for the Orioles what they would be giving up.
Right.
Others, you know, maybe a little more ridiculous, that include, you know, Basayo and Holiday.
Yeah.
You know, I and Mayo on top
Any
of that.
Any trade that includes two of those three, I'm out. Yeah. Immediately. There's nothing to even talk about. I mean, especially if we're talking about them getting one guy, one pitcher. I think they need more. And as much as I like Skubal, and I do, it's hard for me to trust pitchers in general these days, and it's too much that can happen. It's too many variables involved for me to sit here and say, once the Orioles get Skubal, all of a sudden it's without a doubt the Orioles are going to win the pennant. They're going to the World Series, and all. It's just to mortgage what they would have to mortgage if we're giving up, you know, a Holiday and Mayo. I just wouldn't feel right about that.
Well, at least for this year, the only way I could justify it is if you look solely at this year, the Orioles need the pitching. So Skubal would be a boost in that regard. You'd have three that you trust. You could go into really any playoff series and feel comfortable from a pitching standpoint. And Holiday hasn't been a part of the picture at all this year. When he has played, he was a complete non-factor. So you're not removing somebody that has helped your team this year. The future's the future, and it could be a decade plus if they were able to keep him. But just specifically for this year, you'd be giving up somebody who hasn't had an impact on the team for a player that would have a huge impact on the team.
Yeah.
Again, that's solely going all in for a World Series this year. Beyond that, it's a different conversation.
How about if you traded for Skubal and then you signed Burns?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're good for the next 2 to 3 years.
Right. With Rodriguez, that would get you through this injury period where you'd be able to then survive the Bradish year where he's out, and when he comes back, then you're really cooking, and you might not even have to sign Skubal at that point.
We're going way down the hypothetical loophole now when we're talking about a Scott Boras Klein re-signing right now. I just think
we're not re-signing right now, but after the season.
I mean,
you know, he's gonna be.
I'm hesitant to believe it until I see it.
He's
got to
sign somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, he'll sign somewhere. That's for sure. He'll sign somewhere. I just don't think it'll be here in Baltimore. I don't know.
I mean, he hadn't made big money yet,
right?
So he's gonna take I think, like you've said before, Norm, with other a dollar over whoever the highest priced team is offering.
Right, and we know how Boris works. Right, and Cordell just said it. There's no chance that a Boris client signs early.
No.
They're going to test free agency for the same reason you just said, Vinny. You know, let's get the full picture here. See what the best offer is. There's no reason the Orioles can't have the best offer, though. I'll say that.
Right. No doubt. They could get anybody they want.
What he's trying to do is find out what the market is. Mm-hmm. What am I worth?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to do. And then Boris is going to come back to the O's and say, here's what it takes.
But these reports that have been floated out there that are suggesting that he's as good as gone, I don't buy that. I think recent history for the Orioles with old ownership would suggest, yes, absolutely, there's no chance they keep him. But we don't know really anything about how the new ownership group is going to operate from that perspective. We're all hopeful that it's going to be better, but we really don't know anything to make any assumptions that he's as good as gone.
I don't know that he's fully gone, but I'd be lying if I said I'm not more in the 80 percentile that
he's
probably
gone. You're not optimistic that he's coming back.
And it's not even necessarily about what the Orioles haven't done in terms of spending money. Obviously, you know, we know it's new ownership and all of that, and we're still waiting for him to spend his first dollar right now. But even I'm more so just basing it off of how Boris moves. He and his clients, they move, it feels like, for the most part, the same way no matter what the team is, no matter what the situation is. Boris like to bring up the Steven Strasburg re-signing. I mean, that was like Joe Flacco-esque. I mean, that was kind of the no-brainer. It's few and far in between where he lets his guys stay.
Yeah, he got burned last year, though.
He got burned quite a bit, and we'll see if that changes anything. I don't think it'll change much. You can't really teach a tiger to change his stripes. So we'll see. I do think Burns likes it here, and I do think the fact that the Orioles are a contender bodes well for them. I don't think he's just going to go, you know, and take some money from the Angels and all of a sudden go to a team that he isn't going to win it. I do think winning is a priority for him, but also getting paid is as well.
And he's a West Coast guy.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I don't know what's his priority. You know, I don't know if staying closer to home or whatever the case is. He has a family and everything. So I don't know what his priorities are. He's been very close to the chest, Burns, that is, in terms of anything regarding his future. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the Orioles talk. We know the trade deadline is less than a week away, and there's been a lot of talk about the prospects that could potentially be traded. But what about some of these veterans? We'll look at who the veteran trade options are next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in, want to talk about that Orioles loss last night, want to talk some Ravens training camp. We can do that as well. MLB trade deadline, it's on its way, vastly approaching. And we've talked a lot about the Orioles and their farm system and all these prospects that they have at their disposal to trade for a big time arm. Mm-hmm. But what about some of these veteran guys on the major league roster? And there's been some reports as of yesterday really flying out about the Orioles shopping guys like Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle right now. And I don't think it's out of the realm. I think I brought it up on this show a couple of weeks ago, just the question of who on this major league roster could be moved. And obviously guys like Arias, who, you know, I'm sure fans will look at him and Austin Hayes, but I don't know what their market is. And with Mateo going down last night, I mean, it's nothing you can really do with that. And if you missed it, it seems like Connor Norby is going to be the guy to take Jorge Mateo's spot. But how do you feel about any of these veterans being moved?
What are you going to get? What are you getting for Mullins?
Well, I think it's more of a throw-in situation. I don't think Mullins alone or Mountcastle alone is going to bring you back a whole lot. Now, Mullins is a defensive center fielder. He's still one of the better ones.
Right, and Couser's good defending. Mm-hmm. You know, so I get younger there. Norm, what do you think? I'm fine with Couser in center field.
Right. I mean, it's the Mullins thing. Losing him, is that going to be detrimental to your team? No, but like you said, he alone isn't a centerpiece of a trade. He's just kind of a tack-on. Right. So if he's a tack-on piece instead of another minor league guy, you get to keep one of your favorable prospects to use for another trade or eventually come up and be in the majors for you. But I don't know. I just don't know if there's that much of an advantage to it. It does clear up some space. It does get rid of this back and forth, who do we play conversation that's been lasting all season, where Mullins gets hot for a little bit, so he gets play time, but then he cools down. I just feel like they could benefit from thinning things out a little bit. And if this is a way to do it, then yeah, I'm all for it.
It could be subtraction.
Addition by subtraction.
You know, you like you say, you're clearing up space. If they move Mullins, it kind of solves a little bit of this jumbled outfield, and maybe guys like Kjærstad will be able to play more because Kouser will be pretty much your everyday center fielder. Yep. I would imagine at that point, unless they want to throw Hayes out there and platoon him in center field.
I put Hayes in that with a package. To,
well, yeah,
somebody
I think
too,
they would.
I don't know if anybody would want him.
And maybe, you know, if they want to look at what Hayes has been and think that they could get more out of him, Mountcastle is the one that intrigues me the most. I would probably be more willing to throw him in a package before the rest of them, just because it gets Mayo up. It solves a lot about that first base to right field jumbling with O'Hearn and Santander and all of that in the DH spot. It opens it up now for Mayo to come up here and be the power right-handed bat for them. So I'd be okay. And honestly, I've my stock has kind of dropped as the year has gone on Mountcastle, who I think had two hits last night. But his power's gone down drastically. I think the left field wall has really... And I don't think there's a player on this team that has been impacted more by the left field wall than Ryan Mountcastle. At one point, we thought he'd be a 30 home run guy for, you know, at least every now and then. It's been a while since he's shown that type of power. So his defense has gotten better. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But I he was brought here to be a power guy, and he's not that anymore. He's hitting for average a little bit more, but I'm just ready to kind of see what Mayo has, and I don't even know what Mountcastle's future is with the team, even if he's not traded.
The only thing that I would wonder is your locker room. You know, if you're trading away Mullins and you're trading away Monk, you know, how does that affect your locker room?
I think it'll impact it. I mean, especially a guy like Mullins. Mullins is one of the veteran, you know, leaders in that locker room. So it'll definitely impact it. Mountcastle, you know, he's a guy that's been there for a while too. I mean, that, like I've said before, it's a close-knit clubhouse. So losing those guys, I think it would mean something. And I don't want to sit here and act like I'm ready to just see the Orioles go all young. They need to have some veterans out there. I'm all for them bringing back Santander. I'm for O'Hearn still staying in the role that he's in. But it's gotten to the point now to where I think it's getting a little stale at a couple
Cordell,
of positions.
You're in the locker room a lot there. Who's the Roquan Smiths and, you know, who are those, you know, those guys that the Ravens have? Who are they for the Orioles in the locker room?
Well, they're not the rah-rah. They don't have any rah-rah guys. I'll say that. But O'Hearn, I guess, and Hayes and Mullins for sure. I'm trying to think of any pitch. I mean, McCann is one of the veterans, the leaders in the clubhouse for sure.
Are any of the young guys?
I think
like Linderbaum
just,
is on the offensive side, you know.
Gunnar goes in there and does what he's supposed. I mean, they lead. I think for young guys, it's not necessarily about being this vocal leader. I think they just try to just do what's right. So that's kind of what the Gunners do and the Adleys of the world. I think they have a pretty simple clubhouse to begin with. But yeah, I mean, those the veteran guys are probably the leaders at the top of the scale, and I do think it would impact things if too many are gone, and even to a degree if any of them go. I mean, it'll be, you know, right away at least that immediate impact. But overall, I'm kind of ready to kind of clear some space for some of these guys, how long can we watch kind of the same movie from a couple of these players who we were holding out hope that their season would turn around, and it just hasn't.
In the locker room, Cordell, is it like groups? They all together?
I'll say they're pretty good about mixing and matching at times. I mean, you got your people that are, you know, when they sit next to each other, they're around each other quite a bit, but they mix and match pretty well. You'll see relievers playing some of the games with some of the position players at times. They're all on the pool table and stuff like that.
There's
so, yeah,
no
they
outcast.
Yeah, I don't think so. At least for the most part, some guys like Perez likes to stay at his locker and watch whatever he's watching or do what he's doing. But yeah, I mean they do interact quite a bit. But yeah, I mean I do think it's time to have a conversation about some of these guys being moved and even Norby coming up. I was hoping Mayo would kind of be able to slide in with this with Mateo going down, but it seemed like immediately they thought of Norby.
Second base spot.
Well, it's going to be a while. He's just now getting back to playing second base part time, so he's still in his rehab a little bit. That's why Mayo is like, I thought that they'd move Westberg to third, and I mean keep Westberg at second and let Mayo maybe give a try at third base. And I don't know how comfortable they feel. I think the defense with Mayo is the big question right now.
Yeah, this feels almost like the initial move. And keep in mind here, I mean, they say he's joining the team, but mm-hmm. the move isn't official yet. So they're getting the MRI today for Jorge. Even if it's not that serious, he is going to miss some time. So if it ends up being a short-term thing, which would be surprising given what we saw last night, but if that is the case, Norby could be a short-term guy. He more fits that profile. I think when you call Mayo up, they envision that being a permanent thing or as close to permanent as possible. They don't want to have another Kerstad situation where he gets yo-yoed a little bit, comes up here, doesn't get the most opportunity, has to go back down. they don't want to do that anymore, or at least I would hope.
And I agree, but I think some of that is their doing. Like, why Kjærstad not getting the playing time that he should have gotten was kind of their decision making on putting guys out there that probably didn't need to be playing every day, and they're forfeiting him opportunities. And now we see what Kjærstad looks like when he gets more of those daily opportunities. When Norby was called up the last time, he pretty much was out there every day. And I thought Norby looked fine. You know, he wasn't spectacular. He didn't light the world on fire, but he looked like he belonged. He could be another one where this is a showcase opportunity for him to possibly be showcased to other teams. But I agree. I think Mayo is a guy that they want to call up and leave him up. It's just like, what else does the guy got to do? It's clear he is mastering Triple A pitching at this point. That's why my only question at this point is defense with him. Do they feel comfortable putting him at third base, because that's a lot different than obviously playing first base.
Well, they felt the same way about Kjærstad, remember? Yeah. And then Kjærstad's played pretty damn good in the outfield.
True.
The guy I feel bad for is Stowers, man. He's the one on the yo-yo, you know, and he gets to come up and see his locker and then go back.
And there's nothing he can do. I mean, he's always, since day one, he was always going to be behind the Kowsers and the Kjærstads because of draft status. Performance aside, that's the way it was always going to be. And then you throw in the veteran presence that's here, Hayes, Santander, Mullins. I mean, it was always an uphill battle for him from the start. If he's exactly like Joey Ortiz.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. You can get on the line right now. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears to the Ravens. Ravens training camp has been underway since Sunday. They'll be back at it at 1:20. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about this cornerback debt. We know they added a couple of corners in the draft. They've got a couple of corners that they've had on this team that are returning from injury this year. Who's looking good to this point in training camp? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're playing all your favorite female artists or bands all the way up until 2 o'clock. Right here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get on the line. We're talking, well, we've been talking some Orioles baseball to this point, switching gears a little bit right now to talk some Ravens training camp. And training camp has been underway since Sunday. We've gotten a solid look at the guys. The pad should be on Friday, Vinny, but one thing that's been evident to me so far in camp is that they have some good cornerback depth right now. They have a nice amount of bodies that they can put out there. And it's kind of spread around. Marlins looked really good, I thought so.
He looks like he's in much better shape than he was at the OTA. Like, he's lost some weight because he looks good. His movement and stuff is good. I've been impressed with, you know, and he looks faster.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks good. I thought Stevens, who had a couple of pass breakups yesterday, he still looks really good. I'm excited to see him again. I thought Nate Wiggins, when he's been out there and given opportunities, he's looked good. He had the interception the other day. Also got flagged for a holding on a play that I didn't even think he needed to hold on. He's running.
Tylan Wallace.
Yeah, he's running stride for stride with him.
4.65 guy and a 4.2 guy. Come on, you don't need to grab him.
But that reminded me of, I think, the first time we talked to Nate Wiggins, and he was asked, I think I asked him what was, and maybe if it was somebody else, forgive me if it was, but what is it that he felt like he needed to adjust on the most coming from college to this level. And he was saying the physicality, not that he couldn't handle it, but how much he could do in college. You can kind of
grab
and pull and push these guys all the way up the field, where at this level, they're going to call you for that stuff. So, you know, I think understanding as a corner when you can and can't use your hands and really how to be slick with it so that the referees aren't always seeing it.
Oh, he is something
that that was clear. I saw that from the side.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Cordell, the kid that is looking good, and he's changed his body too, I think, is Armour Davis. He looks thicker, and his movement's good and stuff, and knock on wood, I don't want to talk about him, then he gets hurt today in practice, but the kid's been healthy, and his movement's real good. He's going to play a big role, because the depth wise, because we don't know about Marlon, and you know, they play all different guys, because who knows how much that Simpson's going to be playing in a nickel and a dime. So if that's the case, then Eddie Jackson, you know, Mollett, and then maybe Wiggins, you know, so like you said, they've got a lot. And then the other kid too, Mollett made a couple plays yesterday. Yeah, so he's been playing good. And one of the guys, Cordell, that's not there, TJ Tampa, he was making a ton of plays at the mini camp. So he'll be back in a couple weeks, hopefully. And then he'll be added to the mix. But how, Cordell, how surprised were you? Because, like, when I saw Eddie Jackson, I said, damn, he ever been in a weight room? I mean, like, him and Wiggins look like, and you got Clemson and Alabama, and neither guy looks like they've ever touched a weight.
Nah, Eddie Jackson, I'm excited to see him as well.
He's got really good instincts and stuff. And there was a play that he made yesterday that he went and batted a ball or went and covered a guy right away. And was, you know, Cordell, the guy that looks scary to me, watching DB drills, foot quickness and all that, Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, he looks effortless.
Phenomenal.
I was talking to a couple of the other media guys yesterday about Kyle Hamilton, and it was just about how effortless every movement is for him. I mean, he's able, I watched him cover guys in a slot and stick with them down the field. It just, he seems like his ceiling is through the roof right now. I mean, I think he can be as good as any defensive player in the NFL right now, honestly.
He's got a chance. If he stays healthy and everything, defensive MVP, because for the reason being is blitzing. You know, he'll get sacks, interceptions, tackles for loss, all the impact plays, all those types of things. I was watching him this first time that I kind of stayed on the defensive field, you know, like the first 50 minutes that they do. And I was watching the DB drills, just his foot quickness and change of direction is like a corner. And like you said, Cordell, just does everything so easy. It just looks easy to him. And he's 6'4".
It was a couple of plays yesterday where him and Henry, you know, were about to collide just in open field. And obviously they didn't, but it just gives that what if, man, that's just the unstoppable force versus the immovable object scenario with those two guys. I'd pay to see that. I'm excited to see what it looks like when the pads come on. They don't do any real hitting anyway in their practices, so we won't see that. But you'll definitely see the physicality ramp up. You'll definitely see the a lot of the chatter that's been going on will pick up in a big way. But this cornerback group, and you brought up Jalen Armour Davis. I thought he's looked really good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have some tough decisions when it comes to trimming down the roster and trying to figure out which of these guys are going to be the odd man out, because
you know
they're not going
to
be able
to
keep
to
them
teams.
All.
Yeah. Chris Horton's going to have a say in the, what would it be? Because to me, you've got your two starters. You've got Marlon and you got Stevens. You got Davis. You got Wiggins. You got Tampa. You got Mollett. That's six.
You said Davis? What are you talking about?
Armour Davis.
Oh, Armour Davis. Okay.
So that's six. Who else you keeping at corner? I don't know you can keep more than six corners.
I don't think you can. Not on the, yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah, so you'd have six corners, three safeties. Usually it's nine or 10 DBs, depending on teams and stuff. And then you've got your three safeties, and I guess, what, they keep Washington too, probably?
They love him. They love
him. The only thing I don't like about him is his height. He just has a hard time covering tight ends because he's so short. And, you know, that's the thing that I see with him. And I see everybody else making plays. Marcus Cordell, if they can keep Williams healthy for the season, man, for 17 games.
He's been sharp as well.
Yes, he has. I mean, I just think it's an extremely, extremely fast defense. There's nobody, you know, I mean, Michael Pierce probably the slowest guy because he's the biggest guy, but they chase.
Yeah.
They run. And I'm really impressed with the defensive speed and stuff. That's what I'm impressed with.
410-583-1057 is the number. We'll take your calls next here on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Why? Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Always puts a smile on my face to come back to some Chaka Khan. I'll take that. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday, playing all your favorite female artists and bands up until 2 o'clock. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, you're on The Fan.
Hey, man, I got one bar, man. You know how it goes, Cordell. I got one bar, so I do not want to get flaked off. What's going on, Vinny? I got two things.
What's
number
up?
One, y'all cover the, well, Cordell, you cover the Orioles. Personally, all the chances are starting to get my name.
Yeah. Hey, your phone's breaking up.
Call back, Ray. We couldn't really hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on The Fan.
What's good, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
Not bad.
So I got a question kind of for both of you. Maybe you can help shape just a early level thought that I had. I mean, obviously, like you said, right, we're going to be super fast in that secondary. I mean, even Marlowe said he was thinning down a little bit. And
don't just limit it to the secondary. The linebackers both run 4.5, 4.4.
And with that fact being said, Vinny, right, and I appreciate you having my back on that. How do we stay kind of pick hungry, but not get burned trying to get kind of pick dependent? If that makes any sense, you know what I mean. Like, we're gonna have to be careful but aggressive, in my opinion.
I think just play your technique. Do your assignment. You know, do what you're coached to do. That's the thing.
And, thanks, Ray.
Not everybody is. You know, they're going to be the ball hawk type guys. They've got a bunch of the, like, Stevens is not going to have a lot of interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Humphrey's going to have a lot of interceptions. Yeah. Hamilton, probably his four interceptions or so. I could see that. Wiggins, we'll see. You know, and Armour Davis, we'll see. But
if Williams is healthy, he's probably going to lead them in interceptions.
Yeah, just like Stone had 7 last mm-hmm. year. So they'll get their interceptions. And I don't think guys are going to be jumping everything possible. I think they'll be disciplined in playing their fundamental technique.
Yeah, and they're not a team that I think lives off of interceptions. Their defense in last year showed that they can force turnovers. They'll also just stop you. You know, forcing punts is just as good for them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that, like you said, I don't think they'll get out of their technique by trying to be super aggressive. I think that they're talented enough to be able to be aggressive while also not taking themselves out of position. You know what I'm saying? And taking themselves away
from
their technique.
The key more to me is, just be consistent tacklers.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the key thing. Just be a consistent tackler. And, you know, because they've got a lot of playmakers. I mean, you've got two big-time playmakers to me with Millett and with Hamilton, because they play that all over the place where you don't know if they're blitzing or doing whatever. Right. And they both of them do a great job. I mean, how about Hamilton, you know, like the way he comes off the edge and stuff, Cordell? I mean, just – He just times things up perfectly. Mm-hmm. And he has such a great feel for how to play those things.
You talked about the tackling, and that's kind of the big question for me in terms of the open field tackling, because that's what Patrick Queen was so good at for them, at least last year, and really I'd say the year before as well. Tackling was an issue for him early in his career, but mm-hmm. I thought the last couple of years, I think back to some of those games against the Bengals where it felt like Joe Mixon was getting a lot of checkdowns at times. Patrick Queen was the one running out there making those plays, tackling him in open field. Simpson has the speed, no doubt, but can he get to the point to where you trust him to make those open field tackles? Because Roquan plays all over the field, no doubt about it, but he wasn't as, you know, Patrick Queen was kind of everywhere last year. He was the tackling machine. Roquan was in his own right, but Queen seemed to be the guy that was tasked with tackling these running backs in space when they get these checkdowns. Can Simpson do that.
Well, that's Will linebacker is, you know, because the Mike linebacker, which Roquan plays, mm-hmm. you got to step up, take on
right.
a lot of times. The Will, you're free. You know, if they're taking two, if the D linemen are doing their job, Simpson's going to be free. And he's bigger. You know, he's 6'2", he's 240-something, so he's bigger than Queen. And Cordell, I've said all along, 80-plus tackles would be a good year for him. You know, where Queen's had over 100 every year. He had over 100 his rookie year. And maybe Simpson does. But I don't think Simpson, whereas Queen played 100% of the time, Simpson, I don't think, is going to be playing a lot in the nickel and dime.
Yeah, right now I don't think he'll be a three-down type of linebacker just yet. And look, they don't have to force him to
because
they've got plenty of guys that they can throw out there if they do decide to go out there in the dime and kind of flood the field with secondary pieces. So, yeah, I mean, I think talent-wise, without a doubt, I think this defense is still there. They're still there talent-wise.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Are you concerned at all about depth at inside linebacker?
Yes, that's a huge concern for me because after Roquan and Simpson, you don't have much behind them.
Borden Ross.
I mean, yeah, you got Borden and you got Ross. I mean, Ross has been nothing more than a special teamer for the most part since he's been here. Yep. And Chris Borden has bounced around all over the place. So
they play Malik Harrison.
He's moved in as well little bit. But he's kind of flexible. But I don't know how much you'd really want to depend on that.
No, I like him between the tackles, period. That's it. That's all, you know. And they use him outside to rush and stuff, which to me, he plays the run better than he rushes the passer.
I agree.
So, but they have one major concern on defense. One, rushing the passer. And that's a huge, my opinion, it's a huge concern because you got Vannoy, who had 9 sacks last year, and I don't think he gets 9. Do you?
I don't think. Well, that was his career high. I don't think he gets to 9. I could, you know.
If he got 7, that would probably
7,
be
you'll
good.
Take it. Yeah, you'll take 7.
And then Owe, they're counting on Owe a lot, and he's never had more than 5, and I don't know how you can. I mean, if he got to 8, we'd probably be happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, when you're talking about. When we hear Harbs talk all the time, you know, they're. Well, we hope. We hope.
And Matabike's, you know, I don't expect him to get 12.5, 13.5 sacks. And
I'm hoping 10. You know, and I think Travis Jones is going to be a help. But back to the outside guys. Tavius Robinson, I think he's possibly like a 4-sack guy. The thing that I don't like about him, Cordell, is he doesn't have nifty feet to be a real good rusher. Because he's a long strider and he doesn't have those pitter-patter feet where you can change directions and stuff. And then Ajabo's not ready. Hopefully he's ready by week one. I would love for him when he's ready that I say he looks just like he did when he was at Michigan because I thought at Michigan he could bend and he could – his counters were good. He just looks to me like – mechanical at times, like he's painting by the numbers. And that's the thing that I see about Owe too, where it's like 1, 2, you know, like they're counting their moves. Although Owe's had a good spin move the last few days, you know, that's what he's had. But if he doesn't get his spin move because he spins right back, then he's done because his back is right into the tackle. So he's got to perfect that move. But Those are the guys. I mean, anybody else? Cordell, is there anybody else?
Not
because
Adisa
Isaac is. Yeah, you know, he's had 3 pulled hamstrings with the Ravens. Yeah, 3.
Can't mention him right now.
I'm guessing Cordell. If they get him anything out of him this year, they're going to be lucky.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm concerned about the pass rush, and a part of me is a little bit hesitant. Even though I see the same things you see in terms of what they have depth wise, there's not a lot there. But I feel like we've questioned the pass rush every year for the last two to three years. And it's been a shocking surprise every time. They've had people Justin Houston was great 2 years ago.
Beginning of the first 9 games.
Yeah. I mean, and last year as a team, they got to the quarterback. So Who knows? Who knows at this point what it'll look like?
I think they're going to have to scheme it.
And that's what they did last year. I think last year it was a lot of scheme, and you had guys that fit the scheme and really just excelled in their role. And that's what Van Noy talked about, is he was able to just get after the quarterback, and that helped him last year. I would imagine they'll let him do it again.
I think, to me, they're you know who the most natural rusher is to me, Cordell? Has the best hands and the best feel rushing the passer? Take a guess.
An outside guy?
Defensive player.
Hamilton?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the most natural rusher because he can move his body and stuff, you know, and he can bend. That's the thing that I love about Hamilton. He's the most natural. And then, you know, if Hamilton can get 4 to 5 sacks and Millett get his 3 sacks, you know, and then if Humphrey's playing on the inside some, he gets a sack. That's where they're going to have to get him from. And then, you know, the 1 year, like, and I always say, like, Judon got about 9 sacks, but I thought like 7 were wink-aided, you know, where they're stunting and twisting, and that's what they may have to do to create sacks.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in my guy, Bo Smoker. He covers the Ravens for PressBox. We'll talk training camp with him next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.